First Peter 4:7-11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength of God, or the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
So I wonder what you had for dinner last Tuesday. Can anybody remember? I bet for most of you, you might be able to work it out if you tried really hard, but I reckon you've probably got no idea what you had for dinner last Tuesday. It probably wasn't that special, because most of the meals that we have are not that special, are they? You know, I mean, you might go out to a posh restaurant or something for your birthday or whatever it is, but most of the meals we have, 99.9% of the meals we have, a few days later, you can't remember anything about it at all. But let me tell you, what you had for dinner last Tuesday sustained you on Tuesday, didn't it? It sustained you through to Wednesday as well. And that's what these ordinary means of grace are. Because they're the ordinary stuff that keeps us going as Christians. That isn't dramatic, that isn't like the once-in-a-lifetime thing or the birthday meal you might have. It's the ordinary, everyday stuff that just helps us to grow. Should we read this together off the screen? Oh, go back. There we go. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. We're just going to spend a few minutes looking at this verse. In fact, if you're quick, maybe you could put your thumb in 1 Peter and go back to Acts chapter 2. Because these are the priorities of the very first Christian believers. They had all this supernatural, amazing, extraordinary stuff going on. But actually, this is the stuff that they were devoted to. And today, if you want to grow as a Christian, these are the things to focus on. This is your everyday food. This is the stuff that will sustain you. This is the stuff that will make you grow, that will make you happy. Happy? No, healthy. That's the word. This is the stuff that will make you healthy. You know, a really fancy meal in an expensive restaurant is a wonderful, wonderful thing, but you don't do that every day, do you? Well, let me say, if you don't focus your spiritual life on these things, you will end up like that one. You will end up shriveled. Not straight away, but in time, if you don't focus on these things, you will end up shriveled as a believer. So today we're talking about fellowship. Fellowship. So what does fellowship mean? Well, fellowship just means all that stuff. Okay, so it's a Greek word. The word behind it is a Greek word, koinonia, which actually, if you were around in the 1980s, koinonia were an amazing Christian jazz fusion band as well, the best bass player in the whole world, anyway. But apart from that, koinonia means all these things. It's about communion and fellowship and friendship and sharing and intimacy and partnership and unity and connection, and all those kind of things are summed up with this one word, koinonia, which we translate in our English Bibles as fellowship. Now we're going to look at the next bit. So a couple of weeks ago, we looked at Acts chapter 2, didn't we? I'm going to get to it myself now. I just want to look at the next couple of verses after the ones we read then. So the bit we just read off the screen is verse 42. But the next little bit, it says, all the believers were together. Ooh, there we go. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions and gave to anyone who had need. That's quite a statement, isn't it? This is explaining for us what this word fellowship means. All the believers were together. So like, to me, the implication is not just for an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. You know, they spent time together. They were together people. They were community people. They were family together. They were identifiable in the wider community as a group. And they, seems to me, prioritized being together. Now, lots of church activities stop over the summer because various reasons, but partly because group leaders need a break, need a rest. But I want to ask you right at the beginning of this sermon, how will you be together with other believers this summertime? How are you going to be together? Because it's very easy to break into our little family groups or even on our own and just do our own thing. But let me tell you, like going out for a walk, if you're going to go out for the day, okay, if you're going to go out for the day sometime, take someone else with you. If your family is going to go out to wherever it might be for the day, go with another family. It's a lot more fun. Go with two other families. That's even more fun still. It's so much better. And or take someone who's single with you, or a couple of people who are single with you. You know, it might just be a lifeline to someone. These people had they were together, but they had everything in common as well. They shared everything. I think this is so challenging, I think, in our Western 21st century, deeply selfish way of doing things. This just hits us like a train, I think. They shared everything. No one said, you can't have that, it's mine. No one said that. With these first Christians. It seems to me it was a bit like this. Like, these were people who didn't know each other very well beforehand. But they'd have said, well, we have Christ in common. So if we have Christ in common, it's only a small step to say, let's have everything in common. Because to have Christ in common is to have everything in common already, you see. It's all the most important things that we have in common already. So sure, share my stuff. That doesn't come instinctively to Western 21st century people, does it? And they went even further than that. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. No one was hungry. No one was alone. No one needed anything. The church rallied around. That's fellowship in action, you see. That's fellowship doing what it's supposed to do. See, what we have here is a model, a picture of the early Christian church and what they did. And that's our model. You get the picture though, yeah? It's no coincidence that our fellowship fund is called the Fellowship Fund. Okay, that's not a coincidence. So if you don't know about that, it's a fund that people in our church who have money put into that fund so that people who don't have money don't go without. Okay, so today if you don't know how you're going to pay your next bill, or if you're hungry because you've been skipping meals, come and talk to any one of the leaders here and we will try and help you out. Okay, come and talk to us after the service. That's the fellowship fund, you see. It's trying to put this stuff into action. You get the picture, don't you? It's a big vision, a big vision of what it could be, of what it should be to do church, to care for one another. It's so hard, though, isn't it? in reality. It's so hard to do. But the model is here. And it's up to us to figure out how close to that we can get. I saw a YouTube video recently. Someone who would call themselves a Christian for sure. And she was just saying, look, churches just want your money. Churches just want you to play your part in their system. So you can be a believer on your own. You don't need to go to church. You can stay at home. You can watch a video. You can pray on your own. You know, you can be your own little church in your family at home. You can protect yourself from getting hurt. And on the face of it, that sounds so protective, doesn't it? So gentle, so wise. But let me tell you, that is dangerous, dangerous stuff. That is lethal. Lethal to your Christian life, that kind of teaching. Because it's a million miles away from what the New Testament has. In the New Testament, people love one another. They forgive one another. They serve one another. They encourage one another. They bear with one another. They show hospitality to one another. They speak to one another. They pray for one another. And if there is no other in your life, you're not doing Christianity. You're doing something you've invented yourself that's really all about you. Without biblical fellowship, your Christian life will fall far short of the biblical standard. You will shrivel. Now, of course, obviously, I'm speaking to the converted here because you're all here, so well done, congratulations. But there's different ways of doing church and different ways of engaging with church, isn't there? Let's go over to our Bible reading from this morning, from 1 Peter chapter 4. It's just really practical instruction about fellowship and how church should work. So, it says this. This is what Fola read for us. Above all, love each other deeply. That's a great place to start, isn't it? Love each other deeply. Now, you can love each other shallowly as well, can't you? You know, just morning. You know, if that's as far as it goes, that's it's better than nothing, isn't it? But it's not loving deeply, is it? To love someone deeply, I think, is always costly. It always costs you something. It notices when there's a need and it tries to help. The next bit, though, is a dose of reality, isn't it? Because love covers over a multitude of sins. And that's what will happen. You know, if we try and love one another deeply, it all sounds great until you actually get real people involved. In theory, it sounds wonderful, doesn't it? But real people, fellowship sounds amazing until you actually try and involve real human beings. Because people are hard to love sometimes, aren't they? We all know that. People say stupid and tactless things sometimes. People can be needy at very inconvenient moments. You share your stuff and it comes back broken. Maybe you've been there, or it doesn't come back at all. Well, love, deep love, will cover over a multitude of minor offences so that we don't need to sort it out each time. Love just covers it over. Doesn't matter. We're one in Christ. But here's what pushes us to take risks. Here we go. The third little bit there. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Do you know the word hospitality in the Bible? It's nothing to do really with cooking food for each other. I mean, that's a great thing to do. That's not really what it means, though. It means to be friendly to strangers. That's what the word means. So it's not about having your besties over for lunch. Okay, that's not hospitality. That's great. Nothing wrong with that. We should all do more of that, probably. But it's about being friendly to strangers. So our calling as believers is to love and not, and this is the real challenge, I think, is not just your own tight inner circle. You know, not just your biological family, not just to serve them and love them and forgive them when they mess up. Everyone can do that. That's relatively straightforward, isn't it? Of course, you love your own family. The challenge is to love and care and support for strangers, those who you don't know, to open your home and your table and give your time and reach out to people you don't know well and do it without grumbling. That's the challenge, isn't it? That's really hard. But do you see how all this stuff, it challenges our selfishness again and again? That's why it's part of this ordinary means of grace, because we need this challenge regularly in our lives, because we are by nature deeply selfish individuals, aren't we? Let me just give you a moment just to think. Let's just have a moment just in the quiet, shall we? Just to think and reflect, and then I'll pray for us, and then we'll carry on. Father, loving each other is really hard. Hospitality is hard. Having everything in common is hard. And it militates against our culture. And it militates against the selfishness in our own hearts. But Lord, help us to take it seriously, we pray. Help us to love. Amen. Amen. Let's move on. So, fellowship works through using your gifts. So, next little verse, 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. You know, God made you, didn't he? He made you very special, very different. And there is no other person in this room who is like you. We're all different, aren't we? We all have different skills, different abilities, different unique gifts. And he's blessed you with things that you are good at. Different skills, different abilities. Things that you've received from him. Those things that you're good at, those things which instinctively you enjoy doing. I'm really pleased that Ben enjoys going for walks near where he lives, because he took us on a fantastic walk yesterday with some of the men. They're things that you've received from him. They're part of his grace towards you. So this verse is telling us God wants us to be, wants you to be, wants me to be a faithful steward of that gift. Whatever gifts he's given you, he wants you to be a faithful steward of them. Well, what does that mean? Well, being a steward is someone who cares for something, who looks after something that doesn't belong to them. Okay? So it doesn't belong to you, but you care for it like it does. Many years ago, I'll give you a negative example of that. Many years ago, I rented a hire car in America, in the snow, and as I was leaving, some of you have hired cars before, when I left the big car park, I was trying to leave the big car park, I couldn't find how to release the handbrake. Okay? So I messed around for a few minutes, trying to, you know, why wasn't it there? You know, it wasn't there, or even there. It wasn't there, okay? I looked around, I thought, oh, maybe it's on the steering, wasn't there either. So you know what I did? I just drove 150 miles with the handbrake on. Because it's an automatic vehicle. And it probably ruined the clutch. And I still feel a little bit bad. But because it wasn't my vehicle, I didn't care. I was not a faithful steward of that vehicle. I didn't care. I probably should have done. No, I definitely should have done a bit. But it was tired. I was tired and it was cold and it was snow. Anyway, doesn't matter. The point is, what's the point? I can't remember what the point was. We are called to be faithful stewards of everything that God has given to us. That means the good things in my life are not just for me alone. They're from Him and they're for all of us. They're from Him. They're for me to use for Him, for all of us. That means that when He gives you good gifts, they're so that everyone may receive God's grace through you. He wants to be a channel of God's grace. He wants you to be God's channel of grace to other people so that other people might benefit. Well, I wonder what your gifts are, what you're good at. There are two categories in this little section. Verse 11. There are speaking gifts and there are serving gifts. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. When I talk about speaking gifts, you all just look at me and say, oh, well, that's just him. But there are lots of others as well, aren't there? Like there are Bible study leaders, and there are what is that? I'm looking at my notes now. There's people who do Bible readings in church, and there's people who lead services, and people who lead worship, and there are people who lead Sunday school, and people who lead youth groups, and it's all speaking stuff. And they're saying hello to someone in church. Okay, there's the welcome team on the door who speak to people as they come in. When we ask you to turn around in your seats and welcome each other, you're using the gifts that God has given you. Some of you are very, very good at it. Some of you will spot those who are on their own, and you'll make a beeline for them and welcome them. Praise God for that. We need those people. You know, words of encouragement where you know that someone is struggling, you know that someone is down, and you go over to them and you give them a little word of encouragement and say, keep on going, sister. Keep on going. It'll be all right. You'll get there. The Lord is with you. Or you write a card, or you write an email, or you write a text message, or whatever it might be, just to encourage someone and let them know that you care. Those are all speaking gifts. Use them well. Use them well. And then there are serving gifts, aren't there? Maybe this is more your thing. Just standing on the door and smiling. Okay? Like maybe you're too shy to say anything at all. You can stand there and smile. Okay? You can stand there and smile and even nod vigorously if that helps. I don't know. Or put some chairs out. Honestly, but half the ministry life of this church is putting out chairs and putting away chairs in different combinations at different times. If you can help with that, come and talk to me afterwards. Or maybe some of you, you know, you can help with benefit claims because you're really good at admin and paperwork and all that stuff. Or you can cook meals for someone who's got a baby or someone who's sick. Or you can give someone a lift to church. Or you can give someone a lift to an event. Or you can serve on a team like the music team or the tech team or the Sunday school team or the youth team or the drinks team or the cleaning team or the... There are loads of other teams as well, I'm sure. Or you can bake cakes for an event, which is coming up in about 3 weeks' time. You'll find out about it next week. Or sweeping the floor afterwards, or washing up, or making tea, or cleaning drains, or writing policies, or... editing a video. There you go. Loads of things. The question is, are you a faithful steward of God's grace towards you? Are you using what God has given you? Or is your stuff your stuff? My home, my car, my time, my hobby, my interest, mine. Or maybe mine. And my family. Being part of the church is not simply attending an event. If all you do is walk in, sit down, stand up, sing, sit down, stand up, sing, sit down, read, fall asleep, wake up. I'm sure you don't fall asleep. Sing, stand up, sing, sit down, go out. That's not church, is it? That's not being church. That's not fellowship. At the very best, that's attending a church. And if that is you today, listen, I'm pleased you're here, all right? Don't misunderstand me. I'm really pleased you're here. God bless you for being here. You know, that's really great. I'm pleased you're here. But fellowship, if you want to do fellowship, if you want to grow in your Christian life, if you want to grow, you've got to be drawn into the lives of other people and allow them to be drawn into yours as well. Because fellowship is not just receiving, it's giving. God wants to use you as a channel of his grace to other people. Let's just have another moment of quiet, shall we? And then we're not far off being done. Lord, please help us to take seriously your command to use our gifts for your glory, to bless one another, whether that's speaking, whether that's serving. Lord, make me a channel of your blessing to other people. Amen. Fellowship is where Christ grows us. So this is why fellowship is one of Christ's ordinary means of grace, you see. It's where the apostles' teaching becomes real. Where we put the Bible into action. The church is where you learn to love people. It's you learn to love them with all their annoying habits. And their badly chosen words. And the fact they don't return your power tools when you lend them out. That was meant to be a joke. Some of you are feeling really guilty today, aren't you? And it's where we learn to love each other. And it's where God grows us. He grows patience in us by giving us people who test our patience. You know, if you go and live in a cave somewhere, all right, you're never going to learn to be patient, are you? The only way the fruit of the spirit of patience grows in you is by putting people around you who will test your patience. That's the joy of church. Does it sound joyful? It's how we learn to forgive. By God giving us people that actually we need to forgive. Because they've annoyed me. It's how God grows generosity in us. By putting people who are needy around us. It's how he challenges selfishness in me, week by week, by putting us in a family where life is not all about me. That's why fellowship is not an optional extra. It's one of the ordinary means of God's grace to us and how he makes us grow. It's how he makes us more like Jesus. And finally, and briefly, last little bit of verse 11. So that in all things, so all this, all the stuff we've been talking about, so that in all these things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Now, we've seen a huge vision of what church could be and should be. But what is the purpose of it all?